Before we begin our sermon, I'm so grateful. Kim reminded me that we need to pray for the Gardner family. We had prayed for them last week, and they found his body, and it's still really hard for their family. So we want to pray for the Gardner family. So please join me in prayer. Lord, we do not understand your ways. We confess that this morning, that we come to you and say, why? We come to you and say, thank you for salvation, that there's more than this life. But we pray for the Gardner family, Lord, and ask for your comfort to be upon them. We ask that the witness of their faith would extend throughout this community and beyond. Thank you that our times are in your hands. Thank you that there's no mistakes and nothing slips through your grip. And so we entrust their family to you and thank you for the promise of eternal life. So meet the family especially, but for all of us who grieve, Lord, show yourself strong. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So our series is coming from the book of Exodus. It's Rescue 911. But before we actually get to the passage, and I invite Eddie Thurber up to read it for us, I want to just ask you a couple questions. First of all, have you ever looked at a math problem and looked at it and you knew exactly what you were supposed to do? You looked at it and started working on it and got to the end and your answer was wrong. Anybody ever done that? My dad's a math teacher. I know this experience. Or have you ever tried to help two people who were very intimately engaged in conversation, otherwise known as heated argument? Have you ever tried to get in the middle of them and help them reconcile? Who's ever tried that? And you knew, I mean, you understood the issue. They were just not clear on it, and they just needed your help. Understand? Has anybody ever tried that? How'd that go for you? Usually not too well. Okay, now this one, I'm not sure if we're going to have anyone say yes, but let's give it a try. Have any of you ever been the early bird? You got there first and you got the worm. Any of you like that? Wow, I'm impressed. That's right. We're not all Armenian here, are we? But sometimes we're not early. We're actually a little late. But you know, there are some folks that are early. Now, if you've ever done any of those, thought you were right and even showed your work, but you were wrong. You tried to bring two people together and you failed miserably. Or if you were the early bird, but actually you were too early, you are going to understand exactly what Moses went through. And you'll have the opportunity, like me, to learn that God's ways and his timing are perfect. God's ways and his timing are perfect. So, Eddie, would you please come up and read the scripture for us? It's found in Exodus chapter 2, verses 11 through 25. That's page 42, if you'd like to read along.
Starting in verse 11. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Glancing this way and that and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" The man said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian?" Then Moses was afraid and thought, "What I did must have become known." When Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses, but Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up and came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" he asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." Moses agreed to stay with the man who gave his daughter Zipporah to Moses in marriage. Zipporah gave birth to a son, and Moses named him Gershom, saying, "I have become an alien in a foreign land." During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. The word of the Lord.
Well, again, in Exodus, we are going to see very clearly that God is revealing himself not just as creator, but as deliverer. Not just as our creator, but our deliverer. And we mentioned last week that God allows and frequently will arrange difficulties to come into our life that we will have to endure, that he is going to deliver us from. So don't assume that because something is difficult, well, that this can't be God's will. There will be times when in the providence of God, in the wisdom of God, he will allow or arrange difficulties. Sometimes we don't get to get out of the consequences of our sins. Sometimes he is amazing. We know we've done wrong. We ask his forgiveness. And it's almost magical where the consequences disappear. And we are, we breathe a sigh of relief. And we know that that's pure grace. Other times, he allows the consequences to come squarely on our shoulders. We know we deserve it, and it's hard to take. But in his wisdom, he will allow and arrange sometimes for that. But the thing to remember is that God is keenly aware of our need to be rescued. He's the deliverer, he's the rescuer, and he knows the situation that we're in. It's easy to forget that. That's why I'm reminding us that God is keenly aware, not just the passing, but with his intention. And we're going to see how that works out in Moses' life right now. See, Moses sees himself as the deliverer of his people. Remember, he was born into a Hebrew family. His mom very courageously keeps him alive instead of killing him, puts him in the Nile. Who rescues the child? Pharaoh's daughter. In the providence of God and in the wisdom of Moses' family, his sister just happens to be right, not just happens, she was right there. Oh, can I find someone to nurse the child? Yes. Okay, so Moses gets to be raised in his family. We're not sure for how long, but at some point, he goes into Pharaoh's household, and he's going to be trained in the wisdom of Egypt. What Eddie read is Exodus. I'm going to read to you from Acts chapter 7, which is Stephen's take as he's explaining to the elders after Jesus had died and risen again. We read in verse 20 of chapter 7 in Acts, "At that time Moses was born. He was no ordinary child. For 3 months he was cared for by his family. Then he was placed outside. Pharaoh's daughter took him and brought him up as her own son. Moses was educated in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was powerful in speech and action. When Moses was 40 years old," okay, so now we know how old he is when all this took place that we read, "he decided to visit his own people, the Israelites. He saw one of them being mistreated by an Egyptian. So he went to his defense and avenged him by killing the Egyptian." Now here's something that Exodus didn't tell us. In verse 25, we read, "Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them. But they did not. Let me read that one more time. We get into Moses, his own thinking. Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. The next day, Moses came upon two Israelites who were fighting. He tried to reconcile them by saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you want to hurt each other?" But the man who was mistreating the other pushed Moses aside and said, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" When Moses heard this, he fled to Midian, where he settled as a foreigner and had two sons. See, Moses was set to do God's will. Somehow, God had let him know that he was going to be the deliverer. But we've got to remember that we've got to do God's will God's way. We must do God's will God's way. Somehow Moses had, whether it was a revelation from God, whether God had communicated it to his parents, not sure how, but Moses saw himself as a deliverer. And indeed, he will become that. But we've got to do it in God's way. We have to do it God's way and in God's time. So I love the passage that Eddie read, because Moses does what we do. He sees the Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Verse 12 of chapter 3 in Exodus. Looking this way and that, seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. Looking this way and that, he saw no one. See, we don't see what God sees. We don't see everything. He's looking around. He sees the fight. He looks. Have we all not? Has it been this week that you've done this? Was it last week that you saw your opportunity to do something? Maybe it was even something that was right. You looked around, made sure no one was looking, and you did it. Moses looked right, looked left, and he killed the Egyptian. Sometimes our hearts can be right. We can have the best of intentions. We can even know what God's will is. But we do it our way. See, God did not tell him to kill that Egyptian. It's actually really, for a guy who's studied at, who knows what they call the university there, killing one overseer is going to set the people free? Not sure that that's the best idea. Egyptian gets killed, are all the Hebrews going to rise up and follow Moses? I wonder, did they know that he was a Hebrew? He knew that he was an Israelite, but did they? Doesn't look like it. He was convinced that it was time to deliver God's people. He looks left, looks right, and as so many pastors and preachers have said, he didn't look up. He did not look up to see, God, is this your time? God, is this your way? Just because you know something is the will of God doesn't mean it's the right time. We can be early. We can be early. Your friends and family members who don't know Christ yet, they do need to hear the gospel. No question. It is God's will that they hear of salvation through Christ, the mercy that he offers. Has anyone ever been early in sharing the gospel with someone? You were sure that this was the time, this was the moment, this was the opportunity, and you went in and wow, those buzzsaws or defense were just cutting out, and it was a wrong time. I cannot tell you how many times I've been early. See, instead of taking the time to pray for someone, the person you see that has such a need of for Christ, instead of taking time to pray, instead of taking time to wait on God, is this the time? And I'm not saying delaying because you're nervous, but just, is this the time? Is this the time? Lord, would you open their heart? Would you help me see when the right time is? We just go right on in, and we can be early. We can be early. Sometimes, well, there are times when you see someone in need of a rebuke. You see something that they're doing that is seriously hurting their testimony for Christ. And you see it very, very clearly, they don't. And instead of not just looking left and right, instead of looking up and trusting that God will make it clear, you just do what? None of us have ever done this, of course. So you probably, a friend has maybe done this, maybe even to you. They come up and they let you know this is wrong. Or you've pulled someone aside and said that, and they weren't ready to hear it. They weren't ready to hear. You were right to tell them. But just like with humor, what? Timing is everything. Timing is everything. And we don't want to be early. See, this is the difficulty. Remember, God had given Abraham this promise. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all the peoples of the earth will be blessed through you. That's a fantastic promise. But you know, there was another promise just a couple of chapters later. Then the Lord said to him, that's Abraham, know for certain that for 400 years, your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and that they will be enslaved and mistreated there. 400 years. Now, I don't know what kind of calendaring system they used. I don't know if Moses just forgot to turn a page or he turned too many pages in his calendar, but he was early. He was early. We know from what's to come that Moses was about 40 years early. It was only 360 years that they had been in bondage, that they had been enslaved. And again, Moses didn't look up and check on that. And so, he's early. God promised it. God said it's going to be 400 years. They will be enslaved and mistreated. Wait, does that mean difficulties can be part of God's plan? Does that mean that sometimes we will have to wait much longer than we want for deliverance? I don't know about your life, I don't know about my life, but I do know that the people of God experienced the necessity of having to wait longer than they wanted to. Moses had to wait to become the deliverer. So Pharaoh heard of Moses' murder and he tries to kill Moses. Maybe some pent-up aggression there about the adopted Hebrew. Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came to draw water and fill troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away. But Moses got up came to their rescue and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "Where is he? Why did you leave him? Invite him to have something to eat." We read about Moses marrying one of the daughters. And see, sometimes when we're early, when we actually try to do God's will our way, it's not like God just wants to backhand us and forget about us. But he can send us out into the desert. And I say that metaphorically. For him, it was literal. He can send us out of what is familiar to us. He can allow us to be in a place of hardship. Because in that place, we're revealed. So what do you see about Moses? This is a good thing. What's the first thing you see about Moses when he's sitting by this well in the middle of the desert? That this is a man with passion for justice. You know, I wonder whether it was in his birth family or whether it was in his training in Pharaoh's household that he was convinced that you have to do what is right no matter what the cost. See, he did that when he killed the Egyptian. I'm going to do this. It's the right thing to do. Again, he's a little early. There he is by himself. There's shepherds, plural, bullying these women. And what does he do? See, his character is revealed. This is not just some impulsive, spoiled guy. This is not just someone who I think I'm so great, so I'm gonna, you know, everybody should serve me. This is a guy who's willing to put his life in danger for the sake of those who are oppressed. See, just because he got God's timing wrong doesn't mean that he wasn't God's man. See, just because you and I make mistakes at times doing God's will God's way doesn't mean that the person that God is creating is somehow wrong or somehow evil. See, he's a leader, he's a rescuer, he is a deliverer. And it's interesting when he has their first child, when he and Zipporah have their first child, he names him Gershom, saying, "I have become a foreigner in a foreign land." Can you imagine Moses, the identity issues Moses would have? I'm a Hebrew. Am I Egyptian? Well, I'm gonna save my people. Oh, they've rejected me. Well, who am I? Pharaoh is trying to kill me. My people have rejected me as their deliverer. Who am I? Have you ever felt like that? You thought you knew exactly who you were. You thought you were doing exactly what God wanted you doing. And you end up in the middle of nowhere. Who am I? Who am I? And during this process, and it's a long time, ends up being that 40 years, Moses discovers, you know, I'm a stranger. Where I am is not my home. Have you experienced that here? Remember how Badvili began the service? Looking ahead to what's to come. There's so much chaos today. It'll be great when we're in your presence, Lord, forever. Have you realized that planet Earth, Fresno Clovis, is not your home? Is there another country that you're looking forward to? Is there another place where you're setting your hope? See, this is not the best of the grace of God. It's coming. If you had heard Greg Simonian yesterday, he said, "Oh, we're so grateful for Mom, particularly because she has suffered so much and because she's got glory. She's got years of glory." And then he said, "Well, not years. She's just got glory in front of her forever." He said, "We're sad, but it's going to be glory for her forever now." Are you a stranger here? Sometimes when we try to do God's will our way, that we are revealed, and We realized who we really are, that we're not Egyptian, we're not Hebrew, we're strangers, we're not American, we're not Armenian, we're not millennial, we're not whatever it is, we're strangers here. And we're looking forward to what's coming. So Moses is a foreigner. He's a stranger. And this will close up now with verses 23 through 25. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. And you know when there's changes, we talked about this last week, when there's changes politically, when there's changes in your experience, sometimes you think, okay, now's the time. Things are going to get better. You know, some of you who have been dying to get out of high school, you're like, oh, yes, it's graduation is coming. Some of you, if you're college, oh, graduate school, it's almost over. Yes, it's going to get so much better. And sometimes it does, but sometimes it doesn't. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out. They groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. Some of us are silent endurers. We can be going through the worst and no one, we're just stoically enduring whatever we're facing. And we just take it. Someone says, how are you doing? I'm fine. Not a smile, not glib, but I'm fine, I'll make it. Really, how can I pray for you? That's okay, it's fine, I'm good. Some of us just take it. And we take it, and we take it, and we take it. And that may be fine in not broadcasting it, but sometimes we don't even talk to God. Because that's when our theology kicks in, well, God knows everything, so why do I need to pray about it? God's going to work his will anyway, so why should I even pray? He knows he'll take care of it. And he does know. But I'm really wondering, as I've been studying this, I wonder if the text is not intentional in saying the Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up with God. Three times there's something about groaning or crying out. Could it be that God is waiting to deliver us until we pray? Until we groan? Until it gets bad enough that we say, okay, there's no other way. I can't fix this. God, it's got to be you. Would you please? I'm enslaved right now. Could you please rescue me? When that all happens, and God's people groan and cry out, first thing is we read, God heard their groaning. God heard it. God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that God's like, oh my God, I totally forgot about you, Abraham. Wow, sorry about that. It's only been 400 years. I mean, it's been a long time. I didn't. That's not our God. But somehow, in this beautiful thing, this beautiful gift of prayer, I believe he waits on us to remind him. God, you're the God of our great, grand, great, 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 Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Remember us? Remember us? Cry out to him. Because when he hears his people groaning and crying out, he remembers his covenant. He remembers his promise to be faithful. And again, another verb here. So God looked on the Israelites. He looks. Remember, Moses looked one way or the other. He missed it, but God's looking. He's watching. He knows what you're going through, and he is attentive. Sometimes we have to wait, but he hears. He remembers. And he's watching. He's looking. And I just love this. And was concerned about them, or he knew them. Is this just true for Moses? Is this just true for the people of God in ancient times? Or is it true for you? Are you enslaved in a context or to something that's got you bound and you are groaning? Cry out to God. Pour out your heart to God. He is concerned. He hears. He remembers. He sees. He's looking. And he is concerned about you. Even if you've done it wrong, even if you haven't done it his way, we do have to do it God's way, but just know that God's ways and his timing are perfect, and he hears, he remembers, he looks, and he's concerned for you. Amen.